And now back to Dr. Michael Royson, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galewski on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip in about 15 minutes for the hour. Stick around for that. udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. What can farming teach a family doctor about the art and science of medicine? Dr. Daphne Miller left her practice for a bit, traveled to some innovative family farms around the country, and looking to discover the hidden connections between how we care for our bodies and how we grow our food. Her book is called Pharmacology, What Innovative Family Farming Can Teach Us About Health and Healing. It's published by William Morrow. That's a division of HarperCollins. Well, thanks for coming on. It's kind of interesting. Before I send you to Dr. Mike, you wanted to find out how good farming teaches us about nurturing ourselves. Good farming is, what is good farming as opposed to bad farming?
Oh, that's a great question. And good farming is farming that actually treats the land very much the way that we would nurture our bodies if we were taking good care of our bodies. And that's actually what I discovered. But good farming is sustainable farming. It's farming that preserves the soil and all the microbes in the soil and returns the nutrients that you take from the soil back to it in the form of organic matter so that you can grow healthy food and healthy animals and healthy people.
Is most farming done that way in this country?
Sadly, no. Most farming in this country is not done that way. Most farming in this country is done with a lot of external chemicals and fertilizers and pesticides and with churning up the soil and using seeds that are not well-intended for that land and without conserving water and all those things. I think that's what we would probably call industrial farming. And much of our food in this country is produced through bad farming.
All right, let's get into
that. That's not the kind of farming I went to learn from.
Right, okay, we'll find out. Let's find out more about what you learned in pharmacology and more of the book and the topic. And here's Dr. Mike.
You know, Daphne, thank you for being on. And I've got to tell you, there's a picture on the cover of the book of a carrot, which is probably the most sexually suggestive carrot I've ever seen.
It's also supposed to look like one of those old medicine poles, you know.
Is that what it is?
So, it's sort of different things to different people.
Some people see it as
connectivity.
We should tell people so that you should get the book. It's a wonderfully written book. But it is, and it's not a, it's a fun book to read, not a didactic book. So the lessons are subtle rather than hit you in the face. But
they seep in.
But this is two carrots intertwined, I suppose you'd say. Now one of the stories I loved was it starts out with this crazy picture about the Garden of Happiness. Talk to us about the Garden of Happiness.
Well, each chapter in the book takes place on a really different kind of family farm in a different part of the country. And the one you're referring to takes place in the Bronx. And it's actually it's a farm that's made up of many community gardens, but the gardeners there consider themselves a farm. It's part of La Familia Verde Farming Network. And I went there specifically because I was really curious to see the role that urban farming plays in the health of a community. And while I was there, I made some interesting discoveries.
Well, now I'm going to make you tell us some of them. But one of them you told us about a guy who moved from, I think it was South Carolina. This is problematic. I read it 2 days ago. So this is a guy who moved from someplace in the South on a farm to the Bronx, vowing never to go back to a farm. And then he went back to a farm. And you talk about all the lessons from it.
Yeah, well, it was very interesting because he was an elderly man and he'd had another job and he'd gone to college. And when he was young, he grew up on a farm and worked really hard, you know, backbreaking labor on the farm. And so when he left his farm in South Carolina to come and move to New York City and go to college and become a professional, he said, "I will never go back to the farm." And then as he got older and he was living in the Bronx, he started to discover that these community gardens were a wonderful way for him to connect back with his community. And as he went out and started gardening or farming again, he realized that he had these terrific skills, these farming skills, things that he had not thought were very valuable when he was a young man heading off to college. But now all these other people in his community were wanting to learn from him. How do you grow those carrots? What do you do to make your beans so look so lively? And it was a way for him to pass knowledge on to other members of the community, both young and old. And he also realized that it was like going to the gym every day. Here he could go outside, dig in the dirt, and get really physically fit. And he didn't have to pay for a gym membership, didn't have to be stuck indoors. And he had delicious food at the end of the day, so it had that benefit as well. And that's just one of the many health benefits that I saw of urban farming that was not necessarily directly related to the nutrients in the food, but was some other kickback that you got for being outside and in the garden.
So, in fact, he got a number of kickbacks, as you describe, but one is he was regarded as a wise elder statesman, so he got that, if you will, the ability to connect with others and be regarded as and have respect. Second, he got to talk with a lot of people. Third, he got the physical activity. So he got stress relief, he got physical activity, he got a lot of benefits from it.
Yeah, and actually there's an interesting study that came out not long ago looking at elderly people who do this kind of skills, with their hands, where they're balancing on one foot as they're mastering the hoe and sort of planning all these different things in the garden, that it actually has a mental or cognitive benefit as well. So it turns out that gardening is also a dementia fighter.
That's correct. The dementia fighting capabilities, let's go to another subject if I can, rather than going to this, because I think it's such an interesting story about all the benefits of this urban farm. When we went, we started a farmer's market back in 2007 in the Cleveland Clinic, or 2008, I can't remember which year, but we were told how poorly they did on hospital grounds, and we did a whole bunch of things to encourage them. But one of the things we did, which you say is also done at that farm, was in fact collect or allow the farmers learn how to take SNAP and WIC tickets, which is now more common, but didn't used to be done in that era. The other component we did is we tried to turn, and we turned two of our old parking lots that were ground parking lots, reconditioned the land and put them into farms for a couple of the under or unemployed people in the neighborhood after they went to Ohio State Extension to learn how to farm. And one of the things that was amazing to me is how expensive it is to recondition land once it's contaminated.
Oh, so yeah, it sounds like what you did was actually pull up the tarmac. In a lot of farming areas, what they'll do in the city is actually just build boxes and bring in soil so that they can circumvent that problem. Although I have to say, I was amazed because there was another farm that's the farm that I opened the chapter with. It's called the Finca del Sur, and it's a little further down south in the Bronx as compared to the La Familia network. And they just recently took over that land and started to farm, and it's got Grand Concourse on one side, it's got Metro North on the other, and it's got highway and subway coming, and subway vents coming right through it. So you would think that this would be a nasty piece of urban land to farm on. And when they came in and did soil testing, they actually found that the soil was shockingly healthy.
When we come back, we're going to talk more about pharmacology, pharmacology, by Daphne Miller. Joe?
All right, Dr. Mike, thank you very much. youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. Your emails for our guest or Dr. Mike anytime. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath.
Please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness.
It's time to take it
serious. Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath. Cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and need the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.